Hello, and welcome to the Self-Sufficient Hub podcast. I'm Carl from selfsufficienthub.com, and I'm here to talk about all things self-sufficiency, all things homesteading, and about how we can reduce the gap between our consumption and our production. Sustainability and food security matters. Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 373 of the Self-Sufficient Hub podcast. I hope you're all safe and well. Well, before we get into it today, I just want to say I have got a huge announcement, which I'll be making in just a few seconds. But I first want to do a tiny bit of housekeeping and start by just saying thank you to a new patron, Nicola. Thank you ever so much, Nicola, for deciding to support the show and become a patron. I really, really, really appreciate that from the bottom of my bucket of potatoes. So I really appreciate that. Thank you so much. And thank you, as always, to everybody out there who supports the show, however you do it, whether it's by telling your friends, whether it's by sharing it on social media, whether it's by becoming a patron, or all of the other ways that you guys look after me. I genuinely really appreciate it. So thank you so, so much. So I'm going to start with a tiny, tiny recap, just really briefly. Those of you who follow every show will know everything I'm about to say for the next minute or so, but just to get new listeners caught up, I have recently moved to a very ordinary house. Not that there's anything wrong with an ordinary house and a very ordinary garden, and I've been continuing flying the homesteading flag, doing everything that I used to do almost on a really, really small space, really, really normal sized garden. I'm still growing vegetables. I've got my new things that I've never tried before up and running, like my vermicomposting and things like that. I'm also fermenting. I'm making milk kefir cheese, sourdough, all of those things in the kitchen and enjoying life. It's been absolutely great. But you will know if you've been listening for a while that I used to live in a very, very different environment. I used to have an 8-acre garden, basically, and in that garden I had room to experiment with things that I don't have room to play around with here, like raising larger animals such as pigs or sheep or goats and milking animals and doing all of those things. And it's been on my list of things that I wanted to sort out since we moved, because the move was a little bit unexpected. We were basically given our notice by our landlord because she wanted to sell the property. So we weren't really expecting it, and we had to move pretty quick. Well, that's a lie. Not that quick, was it? About 6 months I had to get out, which was plenty of time, but, you know, still unexpected. And since then, I have been trying to find a new space. A new field was the goal. And I've spoken lots on the podcast about how it's such a difficult thing to try and negotiate, because I don't have lots and lots of money. I certainly don't have big piles of cash in the bank to just take out and go and buy a field. So, you know, the financial side of it was one thing, because you've got the idea of renting versus the idea of buying. And in an ideal world, we'd buy, because what I've found is a lot of the issues with renting is to do the sort of things I want to do. Most people, most farmers, most people who've got lots of land and they're going to have a field sort of on their property used by someone else, they have got really quite strict restraints on what they want to happen to it. And basically it's based around how tidy it looks and how permanent things are that you do to make changes. And we'll all know from allotments and from homesteads and small holdings, if you're trying to do a lot of things on a small space, it can, to the outside eye, look a little bit untidy. If you've got a vegetable plot here and a polytunnel there and some fencing here and a compost pile there, and of course you're also going to want a pile to just store stuff, bits and bobs, dustbins and spare bits of wood, and, you know, it's not really conducive to having that in what is essentially someone else's garden. So I found it really, really difficult. I had a couple of offers of places we could rent. There was a paddock that came up that we could rent, but we couldn't really do anything with it. We could put some animals in it, and that was it. You know, we weren't allowed to make any changes, weren't allowed to build our own outbuildings and all those kinds of things. Well, recently, I've been doing some work for someone in my village, and their neighbour owns 130 acres. And they are of a mind that they're happy to kind of talk to people about using some of their land. So that was how the conversation started. Now, they've actually got allotments on their property that they let out to local people. So that's a great start. So I got talking to them, and it turns out that one of them, the lady of the couple, is Sally Morgan, who wrote the book Self-Sufficiency, How to Live on 1 Acre or Less. She literally wrote the book, and it turns out her and I have a great deal in common. So what we've done is we've had a look around and we've come to an agreement. And, well, I say we've come to an agreement, we're still working on the very, very fine points of it, but we're down as far as I know for a fact I'm going to be getting a piece of land there. And I kind of have my choice at the moment, although there's a choice between two different parcels that we're looking at. So the first parcel, I went down there and spoke to her, and she said, yeah, of course, let's walk around and have a look. And the first parcel is basically a 5 acre field, and that's it. And we spoke about that, and she's not willing to sell it yet, but there's a possibility in the future. But what she is willing to do is give me a really, really long-term lease. So we could be talking, you know, a decade or two, which is fantastic. But more importantly, she says you can do pretty much whatever you want. You know, you can build out buildings, you can do all the things, you know, knowing how minded I am and everything else, she's you know, so long as it's in keeping with her vision for what the land should be used for, which everything I want to do would be, I can do pretty much what I want. I can make changes, I can put in fencing, I can plant trees, I can do all of the things that I want to do. And so long as I comply with all the local planning permission requirements and all those kinds of things, I can do anything I want. So that's sort of option A, is this 5 acre field. And I have to say that as it stands right now, that would be amazing. And we carried on talking, and she said, there's another option as well, let me show you this other area. And we go for a short walk across her property to another little area where there's a gate, and on the gate is a sign saying living on 1 acre or less. And we walk into the plot that the book she wrote is based on. Sally Morgan's Living on 1 acre or Less is actually based on this specific plot, and we walk in there, and it's this amazing permaculture garden with all sorts of perennial vegetables. It's got a couple of small fenced off sections for pigs and things like that. It's got a giant 30-foot polytunnel all set up with an aquaculture system mostly set up within it. And it's got a partially planted food forest and an orchard. It's got all of this stuff ready to go. And she turns to me and says, oh, you could have this. And I didn't know what to say. Now, there's a few things about it that make it slightly less than absolutely the paradise perfect thing that it might sound. And one of them is that she runs courses there, and she would still want to have access and bring people in to look at it, and to sort of show a piece of space in action. But I don't have any issue with that at all. It obviously would put slight constraints on what I could or couldn't do there. But to be perfectly honest, I think I'd probably continue to run it almost as it is and make very, very slight changes in the permaculture way, you know, nudges to move things slightly towards how I work. And then in addition to this 1 acre parcel, there's a second 1 acre field, which is just 100 yards away, which we would also get. So we'd have the two. So in that 1 acre field, I could do things like have some paddocks and put some goats in there, or some sheep, or some cattle maybe, or some who knows what, pigs. So we've got that option as well. I could also plant it, whether I wanted to plant a big food forest or whether I wanted to plant, I'm thinking about planting some timber, some wood for firewood there. But the ultimate, you know, underlying resolution here is that I have finally resolved where I'm gonna have my piece of land. It's going to be in the village. I can get to it on my little electric scooter really, really happily, and it means I'm going to be able to re-expand all the things that I'm doing in the garden. I'm going to be able to have a big potato plot and all those kinds of things that we used to have, and get back on that horse, the sort of slightly bigger horse. So it's been a real roller coaster of a week. And, you know, I apologize again. I did apologize on Wednesday, but I'll do so again for there being no episode on Monday. It's incredibly rare that that happens. And it's just been one of those weeks. On top of all this, I'm incredibly busy at work as well. And I'm trying to juggle too many things. So I am trying to keep on top of it. And for the next week or so, again, it's going to be a little bit tricky. But I don't think that there's going to be any issues with the release schedule of this show. But there you go. And the other slight sort of mini announcement is that if you wanted to see these areas, I'm hopefully, fingers crossed, going to be releasing a YouTube video on Sunday where I'm going to be sharing these spaces and walking around them with you and talking about them and what are maybe potential future plans would be, which space we might opt for, etc., etc. Now, we still need to, as I say, go through the fine points of actually getting me to have ownership or custodianship of these pieces of land. So that will be hammered out in the next few days. But I do know enough to know that we will be moving forward with one of these options. And I'm so, so excited. I'm just incredibly, incredibly thrilled. And things are just falling into place for me, as I think they just tend to do, don't they, in life, if we just have our eyes open and our ears open with a view to achieving something, whatever that goal might be. If we spend our whole lives thinking, you know, just being in a space receptive to these things, then when the opportunities arise, we're very, very ready to take them on. And yeah, that's where we are. So that's it for today, just a short episode, but I think it's you know, a big, big, big turning point for me, and somewhere going forward we'll be just able to do all the things that I've been wanting to do since we moved and couldn't because of the space, which isn't a lot. You know, I don't want to take away from my main message is that everybody can do the stuff I'm doing, and that's still true. You know, everything that I've been doing, and I've had loads of comments on the YouTube channel specifically saying that since I've moved house, people are really enjoying my content because it's more relatable, and I don't want to take away from that. You know, we're still going to be doing all the kitchen stuff and the small garden stuff, and we're still going to be growing vegetables in our garden. We're still going to be doing the vermicomposting here. We're still going to have the hens, and, you know, we're not going to stop doing any of our preserving and all those kinds of things. They'll all still be done here at the house, and then it'll just be as a separate wing, as a separate arm. We'll also be doing these other things, these other projects, like growing firewood, perhaps. And these are things that we can't do in a small space, in a small garden. So hopefully no one is going to feel shortchanged, and everyone's going to still be able to get as much value from the show as they always have. But we'll just be able to add some things that we weren't able to do recently, but hopefully we'll be able to start doing again. It's come at a great time because we're officially now getting down to our last couple of months worth of pork in the freezer after having so, so much of it not so long ago. We've been eating it up. So it's about time we started looking more towards that future and planning along the lines of filling our freezers again with protein and everything else as well. You know, there's no way in the world that we're growing enough in our garden this year to be self-sufficient. But with a lot of the perennial crops already in situ, in the, you know, the 1 acre plot, then if we go with that one, it'll be a case of one will kind of come in and take over from the other, I suspect. So yeah, great news. Watch this space. I'll keep you updated always, guys. Thanks for tuning in, and thank you for your support of what I'm doing. It really does make a difference. I can't say that enough. There have been so many occasions where I would probably have just had a day off or not done very much that particular day, and it is knowing that you guys are out there that has driven me to do some of the things that I've done. So it's so important to me personally, and hopefully we're all getting that community from each other. Speaking of community, you know, check out the Facebook group where there are lots and lots of listeners to this show, and you can share your experiences, and that's just the Self-Sufficient Hub Facebook group. And all the links to all of my stuff is in the show notes, as always. There is also a patrons only Facebook group. So if you're a patron and you're not in there, just request an invite or send me an email and we'll make sure that you get invited into that group. Thanks for listening, everyone, and I will speak to you all next week. Cheers. This episode of the Self-Sufficient Hub podcast was brought to you by our patrons. You guys are awesome. If you'd like to support the show, there's lots of ways you can do it. The easiest of which is just to like and review it wherever you get our podcasts. You can also tell somebody about it, whether that's on social media or just face to face with a friend who you think might benefit from it. But however you support our podcast, we really, really appreciate it. If you'd like to become a patron, please consider doing so by going to patreon.com/selfsufficienthub. However you support the podcast, it's listeners like you that make all of this possible. Thank you ever so much for listening, and I'll speak to you really soon.